Chapter 12. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to continue the study that we started before about the differences in what Peter taught and what Paul taught. And they're very clear. And yet in most of religion today, in most denominational churches, you will not find the doctrine taught that there is a difference. Most of the time it is taught that Paul simply continued the ministry that had been committed to Peter and the 12. But that is not at all the case. So today, what I want us to look at is, under Peter's ministry, there was always separation between the Jew and Gentile. Israel always was God's chosen people throughout your Bible. And that's clear when you read verses like we're going to read. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "The Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So with that promise, God made a distinction between Israel, the formation of the nation Israel, Jews, and Gentiles. And he said to Abram, he said, "Abram, I'll bless you, and I'll bless those that bless you." And so from that point forward, throughout your Bible, there was always a separation between Jew and Gentile. Israel as God's chosen people, and Gentiles that blessed Israel could be a part of those promises. Let's look at some verses in relation to that. Look in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 5, the Bible says, "These 12, and he names them there in verses 2, 3, and 4, the 12 disciples, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, I don't know of any verses that explain it any better than that, that there is a difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Jesus Christ said to his 12 disciples, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles." That is clear. Where were they to go? They were to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then therefore, that would not include people like you and I. The 12 were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look over in Luke 24. In Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, and there in verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Where was Jerusalem? What was Jerusalem? It was the center of Judaism. It was where the Jews were. It's where they came to worship and so forth. And they were to start their ministry at Jerusalem. Look in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, they asked Jesus Christ the question. After spending 40 days with him, after his resurrection, in verse 6, they asked the question. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." But you see, it was to start in Jerusalem. The children must first be fed, Matthew chapter 15. After the children were fed, then they could go into Judea and then Samaria and then the innermost parts of the earth. But there was still that difference, that distinction between Israel and the Gentiles. The nation Israel, the church there, Jerusalem, was a church made up of those that were saved by the gospel preached by Peter and the 12. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Look over in Acts chapter 11. In Acts 11, in Acts 11, verse 19. Now they, which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. I mean, how much clearer can it get, folks? There was a distinction between Jew and Gentile as far as Peter was concerned. And he had to be shown that, so that when he went to the household of Cornelius, he had to be shown that the door of salvation had been opened to a Gentile, even though he had been told he was going to all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because the Jews did not repent as a nation. And so Peter went down to the household of Cornelius, preached unto him, and made the statement, I perceive that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. But there was always that distinction under Peter's ministry of the Jew being God's chosen people, and the Gentiles that blessed the Jew would also have an opportunity of salvation. When Paul was saved, that was no longer the case. There was no longer Jew or Gentile, but all became part of the new man, the new creature, which is the church, the body of Christ. Look in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul makes a statement there in relation to Jew and Gentile, and he says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Well, there sure was during the earthly ministry of Christ. He made it clear they would go only to the Jew. Paul said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That is why Paul was hated by the Jews. They had always been God's chosen people, and now they have one of their own who has gotten saved, a Pharisee, a lawkeeper. He gets saved, and he goes and begins to preach this gospel of Christ that was committed unto him. And as he preaches the gospel of Christ, he is proclaiming the fact that those that believe that gospel are added to the body of Christ. What is that gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. If you want to be saved today, listen, that's the gospel you've got to believe. The gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will not save you. The gospel of Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, will not save you. Why? Those are the gospel, those truths are truths that were associated with the nation Israel and those that blessed Israel as promised in Genesis 12. But today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, and you are saved by the gospel committed unto our apostle, the apostle Paul. In Colossians chapter 2:13, he said he has forgiven you all trespasses. So today, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to be saved by the gospel committed to Paul. That is, trust in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, plus nothing. There's no longer Jew nor Greek. Look in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 11, or verse 10, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for making himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You see, today, folks, God sees us in his Son, Jesus Christ, not as Jew or Gentile, not as male or female, not as bond or free, not as anything else. There's only two group of people in the world today as far as God is concerned, and that's the saved and the lost. And every saved person today is in the body of Christ. They got in the body of Christ by believing the gospel of Christ that Paul preached. They were baptized in that body by one Spirit, whether they even knew it or not. because that is the operation of God that takes place through the gospel of Christ, the gospel preached by the Apostle Paul. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." There's just one body today. It's the body of Christ. It is the church which is His body. And that church is made up of those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, believing that He died for their sins, was buried and raised again the third day. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the reason we preach this and teach this, number one, is because it is scriptural. Number two is because it clarifies and makes crystal clear how people are saved today. They're saved by grace through faith, not by their works, not by what they do, but by what Jesus Christ did for them at Calvary. Now, I want you to go back in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 61. Another difference between what Peter taught and what Paul taught. Peter taught that the nation Israel were God's representatives upon the earth. And what we find out is that the little flock of Israel ends up receiving that kingdom that was promised to them. In Isaiah chapter 61, in verse 6, the Bible says, "In relation to the nation Israel, but ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you, the nation Israel, the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourself." Well, you know what Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 2? He said, "You are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation." The body of Christ today is not a priesthood, has nothing to do with a priesthood. They are the church, which is His body. Look there in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, you see, folks, there's just so many differences. And you'll never one time find the Apostle Paul referring to us, the members of the body of Christ, as a priesthood. Why was Israel going to be a priesthood? Because Israel was God's chosen people to be His representative upon the earth. He said, "I didn't choose you because you were the greatest in number." He said He chose them as a result of His love. And His desire is that Israel would fulfill His purpose of going into the world and preaching the gospel of that kingdom. Jesus Christ would return and establish a reign upon this earth and would rule and reign for 1,000 years, after which there would be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness and so forth. That's why He had a nation out there to do that. But they continually rejected Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 5, Peter said, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Look down in verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You see, folks, the way that was going to work is that there was a priestly tribe, the tribe of Levi, in the nation Israel. But when Jesus Christ was to come and establish His kingdom, the whole nation would become a kingdom of priests. John 4, salvation is of the Jew. And they were going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But they were going to go to the Jew first. After the Jewish nation repented and accepted Jesus Christ as the Messiah, they were going to go out into all the world. But they didn't repent. They turned against God. Look back in Luke chapter 12. The Bible says He came into His own, and His own received Him not. And so Jesus Christ, knowing that was going to happen, as it had already begun to take place, in Luke chapter 12, in verse 32, He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What they ask him in Acts chapter 1, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That was always what was on their mind. That was what they were preaching. That was what they were looking forward to. That was the centerpiece of their ministry, was this kingdom that they were looking forward to. And it was a kingdom that Jesus Christ taught them in Matthew 6 to pray for. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was to be an earthly kingdom. Now, today, Israel is no longer God's representatives. Why? They fail. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen stood up and preached a scathing indictment upon the nation Israel. And in effect, he said, you Jews are doing exactly what your fathers have done all along. And you know what they did? They stoned him. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And I don't believe from that point forward there's any chance of national salvation for the nation Israel. And God would have been just at that very point to rain his wrath upon this earth, the 70th week of Daniel, but he didn't do that. Two chapters later, we read about the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And it's as though God Almighty just put the brakes on the program of prophecy. Because the next thing in prophecy, would have, after Israel's rejection, would have been the day of Jacob's trouble, 7 years of tribulation. And God put the brakes on that, and instead of bringing that in, he saved the Apostle Paul and brought in the dispensation of the grace of God. And rather than rejecting that and calling people names like dispensationalists and hyper-dispensationalists, listen, folks, the world ought to rejoice in that, because it's by that grace today that people are saved, and it's by that grace that God's wrath is being withheld. People talk about how can God withhold his judgment from a nation as evil as ours. I can tell you how. By the grace of God. We're operating under his grace and mercy. And we are his representatives preaching this ministry of reconciliation. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, the whole world, most of the religious world today, believes it is their goal and mission to fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Well, nothing wrong with preaching the gospel to every creature as long as you're preaching the right gospel. But he goes on to say in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And Jesus Christ commanded his disciples in Matthew 23 to keep the law of Moses. Well, that's not what we're teaching today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. We talked earlier today in our class about what is our ministry, the ministry of preaching the gospel. That whole thing is about the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then, now, there's that word, now, you see, now then. You've heard people, you know, we use that phrase all the time. Now then, let's go down to the mall. Now then, let's go get something to eat. Now then. Why? What is the now then referring to? It's referring to the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. Since that's happened, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, folks, it's a completely different ministry. And thank God it is. We have the ministry of reconciliation. That great and glorious truth that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Had God imputed the trespasses of the nation Israel unto them? You remember what Stephen prayed at the end of his life there? He prayed that God wouldn't impute. God wouldn't hold it against them, what he did. If God had done that, he would have brought wrath upon them. But he didn't. And then he saved the minister of reconciliation, the Apostle Paul. So that you've got 13 books in your Bible, Romans through Philemon, that are written by our apostle, the Apostle Paul, that proclaims unto us this great and glorious truth of God's reconciliation. So who is God's representative today? We are. We are ambassadors for Christ. As an ambassador, we're not to teach and preach what we want to preach and teach. We're to preach and teach what He told us to do. You see, an ambassador is always to represent the one that sent them. It's not to go over there in another country and represent their own self-interest. It's to represent the one that sent them. Well, who sent us? The Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us. He placed us into the body of Christ. And so today, we are His representatives to a lost and dying world that is in total rebellion against God. But even though mankind is in rebellion against God, God is not in rebellion against them because of His grace. And it's our great and glorious privilege to be able to tell people, God's not mad at you today. God's not going to do bad things to you today. Like I mentioned in Sunday school this morning about the man who had a tumor. People immediately assumed that he had that because he had left the church he was part of and God was getting him back. Come on, folks, that's not grace. God's dealing with us on the basis of His grace. He's not imputing our trespasses to us. We're His ambassadors. We have a great ministry. And then the last thing I want you to notice, the sixth thing, is what Peter taught about the future destiny of the nation Israel, as opposed to what Paul taught about the destiny of the church, the body of Christ. Look back in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You see, when Jesus Christ spoke to the 12 in Matthew 24, He said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." Therefore, I know that Peter was preaching exactly what Christ had taught them to preach. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, a verse I quoted just a moment ago, Jesus Christ says in verse 9, it should be, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is addressing the Jewish people that he was part of and the ministry that he had with them. In 1 Peter 1 verse 4, he says to an inherit, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Notice that there is a hope, and it's reserved in heaven. Well, you know what you find out in the book of Revelation? You find out that there's a city up there. What happens? That city comes what? Down to earth. That little flock was given an inheritance in that city. Those Old Testament saints are going to inherit the earth. That was their promise, that was their hope, and that's what Jesus Christ taught them, that they had an earthly inheritance. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's a distinction. Paul said in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He's going to gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth. One day the kingdom will be all one. Every person saved in every dispensation is part of the kingdom of God. But there's an earthly aspect of that kingdom. It's called the kingdom of heaven in the book of Matthew. And it has to do with a nation dwelling upon the earth with Jesus Christ as their king for 1,000 years. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 21. But what about the church, the body of Christ? Well, look in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're not looking for our city to come back. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we looking for Him to do? Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to do all things unto Himself. Now I know, folks, because of the fact that we're in the year 2012, and many people expected the rapture to take place before the year 2000, that there's more and more people doubting the truth of the rapture. Well, you know why? Because men tried to put some kind of time frame on it that wasn't biblical. Number one, it's almost impossible to reconcile the Jewish calendar with our calendar today. But beside all of that, we don't know the day or the time, but we know that there is an event. According to the Word of God, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we're going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds. We're not waiting for Him to return to earth and establish His earthly kingdom. Why? Because we have a heavenly inheritance. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 26, he says He's raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. You see, the church, the body of Christ, has been promised a heavenly position in God's universal dominion, and it's not the same as that Peter and James and John taught that had to do with Christ returning to the earth. Now, we've covered six major differences in what is taught by Peter and Paul. And there are multitudes of others. But my question is, why would people not want to simply accept what is said in the Bible and take instead the traditions of men? I'll tell you why. Because people want to claim that which was associated with Israel because it's physical in nature, while that given to the church, the body of Christ, is spiritual. And people generally want that which they can see, touch, feel, or experience. Listen, folks, we have a far greater hope, that hope of spending eternity with Him. How do you get that? By trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. By trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a reason that God told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to distinguish between that which is yours as a member of the body of Christ and that which belongs to the nation Israel.